Thank you. And now we're going to get into our scripture for today. Today, we continue to work our way through Revelation. Last week, we left off with Revelation chapter 5, where John, who is receiving these visions in Revelation, John gets to see God on a throne. And there's four creatures standing around the throne. We'll hear a little bit from them today. The big thing is that in God's hand, there is a scroll. And on the scroll are seven seals. And we discover that Jesus Christ, who is called the Lamb in Revelation, is the only one able to open the seals. And the scroll presumably tells us the will of God or God's plan for judgment and salvation. So as each seal is opened, we're going to hear about a new threat that is named. These are real threats that people experience today, just as they have experienced throughout all of history. And so let's read Revelation chapter 6. John writes, "Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures call out as with a voice of thunder, 'Come!' I looked, and there was a white horse. Its rider had a bow. A crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer." Now, when we think of conquering, it's typically nations that conquer other nations. So this is kind of a threat at the borders, the wars of nation against nation. I think we can very easily think of places that's happening in our world today. If we go to the second seal, verse 3, "When he opened the second seal, I heard the living creature call out, 'Come!' And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people would slaughter one another. And he was given a great sword." This is the threat of violence that people do one to another, even in their own nations. And verse 5, "When he opened the third seal, I heard the living creature call out, 'Come!' I looked, and there was a black horse. Its rider held a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a day's pay, and three quarts of barley for a day's pay, but do not damage the olive oil and the wine.'" This is a threat of economic hardship, not being secure to provide food and for survival. "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures call out, 'Come!' I looked, and there was a pale green horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed with him. They were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, famine, and pestilence, and by the wild animals of the earth." The word of the Lord. This is one of those passages where you don't really want to say thanks be to God. This last threat is the threat of death. And so if none of the other threats have impacted you, it's one every one of us will have to face someday. Not even our health can save us. So we've read about these threats of violence and economic hardship and threats of death. We know that these threats and fears were very real in John's time, just as they are in our own. So as we think about the reality of these threats, we might think of the housing crisis that's happening in our own nation and how much the cost of a house has grown in recent years, or how difficult it is to find affordable housing with affordable rent, or how people in other parts of the world are facing war and famine. The picture that's up here today is one of Gaza, which has gone through every one of these threats. Whatever had once seemed secure is gone. These are challenges and fears that people have faced throughout history. The more scary visions from Revelations, which we kind of start in today and receive a little bit later on, they don't just predict some far-off future, but they also name the reality of our lives now. We read of four of the seven seals being opened. What we didn't read today is the fifth and the sixth seals being opened. When the sixth seal is opened, there are earthquakes and other natural disasters, and people hide in terror. And it seems so bad that they cry out in the face of all this, "Who can stand?" In other words, who can keep going when things seem so bad? At this point, you'd expect the seventh and final seal to be opened, but instead there's a break. There's a respite from all that threatens. And suddenly John is given a vision. Once again, he's welcomed back before the throne of God. And he kind of takes us up with him to instead of focusing on all the threats and fears, we again are invited to look to God. The question is asked, who can stand? And the answer comes in chapter 7. It's those who are sealed, who are marked by God and by the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ. So John hears a number of those who will be saved, 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. John wants to see what they look like. What does this 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel look like? But when he looks, he doesn't just see 144,000. He sees a great multitude that no one can count. And they are standing before the throne of God and Jesus Christ the Lamb. We're going to read that now. In worship, we typically just stand for our gospel readings. But today we're going to stand for this reading because it focuses us so much on Jesus Christ. And we hear so much good news in this passage. So as we stand and read about the faithful multitude of people, I want to invite you to picture all the faithful ones who've gone before us standing in that multitude and to imagine ourselves standing there as well. So please stand as we read this reading from Revelation chapter 7. And there's a small part in bold for you to read. It's the words of praise that this great multitude has for God and for Jesus Christ. So from Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Remember, John's heard a number of 144,000 from the tribes of Israel, but now he looks. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. And your part's coming here, get ready. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white? And where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. As we read that last part of the vision, we might notice there's this promise that there will be no more hunger, no more famine and drought, no more sadness. In other words, all the things we heard about back in chapter 6 that are threatened, they are now made secure by Jesus Christ and our God. In chapter 6, we heard about all these things that we normally place our trust and security in. We normally try to find security in our borders, in our bank accounts, in our health. These things we think we can control. And Revelation 6 reveals that we can't find our ultimate security in any of those. They will fail. But instead, this passage now moves us to find our security and to place our trust in our God. We heard about that great multitude of diverse people from every nation and tribe and language standing together, all clothed exactly the same in the grace of Jesus Christ. This image of being sealed and clothed in white might remind us of how baptism is mentioned in other places in the Bible. In one place, baptism is described as us being clothed in Jesus Christ, made whole in him. In our baptismal services, after someone's baptized, they get marked with a sign of the cross on their forehead, and they hear these words, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. We're brought into this beautiful vision in Revelation 7 in our baptism. Now, as I mentioned last week, if that is God's vision for what God wants, then that's also how God invites us to live today. So I might ask, in what ways is God moving us to live in peace with those who are from different nations and tribes and languages and backgrounds? Recently, there have been some reports about Rwanda, marking the country of Rwanda is in the continent of Africa. There's been some reports marking the 30th anniversary, 30th years after their violent and horrific civil war, a war that happened between two ethnic groups there. Following that horrific violence, they created something called reconciliation villages as a way to move forward. And the idea was that you would have those who enacted the violence live right alongside those who suffered in the violence. It sounds like a pretty impossible reality. It's people from these formerly two warring groups seeking to live in peace alongside each other. Some have said these reconciliation villages have created an artificial peace. They haven't worked. Others have said they have not worked for them. And still others have said that they have. One woman about my age, when she was in high school, her family was killed in that civil war. And I think about that history and what I was concerned about in high school. And at the same time, she was trying to survive a civil war. Today, she lives in a reconciliation village. And she shared that she doesn't feel afraid anymore. Even as she watches during the interview someone walk by who was a part of someone who had enacted that violence. When they walk by, she says, "I'm not afraid anymore." She said there's no longer, for her, the divisive separation of one people, one group from another, but they're all Rwandans, all people. Another woman shared that her husband had been killed in that war. And a neighbor admitted to her that he was the one who had killed her husband, and he apologized. She said it took her 3 years to forgive. And so this woman and this man who'd enacted this violence against her family, they stand together for the interview and for the picture. Today, they attend the same church. They watch each other's children. They do not forget the past, but they choose to live together in peace because she says it's the only way forward. Choosing not to let the past define how they will see and live with each other today. It reminded me of similar work done in some other places that was based in faith, based in God's hopes and dreams for human beings. I share these stories from Rwanda not to just have us stand back in awe and say, "I could never do that," but to share that if it's possible for them, maybe it's also possible for us. Perhaps we too might be inspired to ask God to shift our hearts, to help us see in a new way, to let go of the things we keep holding on to, the grudges or the divisions. Not that we forget all wrongs, but we choose to not have them define who we are and how we're going to live. I've shared before that I have a forgiveness process that I've done with a few people, and they found it really helpful. And if you are holding on to some resentments and feel like you want to let those go and you want to try that out, you can let me know and we can talk more. I've shared that John sees, he hears certain things in Revelation, but when he looks, he sees something quite different. Last week he heard that a lion would come up, a leader like a lion would come up, but when he turns and looks, that leader appears like a lamb who's been slaughtered. It's a very different idea of leadership. This week he hears a certain number of those being saved, 144,000. But when he looks, he sees this great multitude no one can count. Each time when John turns to look, he expects to see one thing. But when he looks, God opens his eyes to see in a totally new way. And might this passage, Revelation 7, do the same for us today? Because if this is God's vision of a promised future, then this vision also invites us to see and to define things differently. It moves us to check our prejudices, to admit them and become aware of them, to pay attention to how we label people, how do we think about them, how do we talk about them, to not let hateful speech stand, to see people from every background and nation and language as worthy of standing robed in white along with each one of us before our God together. In God's vision of this great and diverse multitude, I would guess there's some people there that we'd rather not picture being there, and yet God does. And still others that we long to stand with today, and we just can't get there. Like we may have divisions in our own families or broken friendships that we long to have healed, and it just hasn't happened. For now, maybe we just hold them in this future vision, hoping for that day when we all stand before Jesus clothed in God's grace. This promise that even though our divisions and our conflicts are not yet healed, there is going to come a day when we will be reconciled to God and to each other, all tears wiped from eyes and no more need. Next week, we are going to look further at the forces of evil at work in our world. But before those are ever presented in Revelation, we are a promised of a God who's with us, of Jesus the Lamb. And we're given a vision of our promised future, a time when all threats are truly defeated, a time when all brokenness and tears are gone. And in the meantime, we're promised we are sheltered by our God. We are shepherded by Jesus Christ now into forever. May we hang on to this future. And by the Holy Spirit's help, may we live it for each other and for the good of God's world right now.